It's time for Rose Chat on Blog Talk Radio. We're the only show on the airwaves dedicated to growing roses. We're glad you've joined us today. Our phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear from you during today's show. The number to call is 347-677-1870, or send us a tweet using the Rose Chat hashtag on Twitter. Join us as we explore the world of roses.
Well, good morning. I'm Chris Van Cleve, your host for Rose Chat, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. Now, spring has sprung here in our central Alabama Rose Garden, and I think we'll even see the first blooms of the season this weekend. Tina and I have been busy for the last few weeks weeding and mulching and fertilizing and weeding and weeding and lots of weeding going on in our garden. You know, it's an annual rite of spring, and we really wouldn't have it any other way. Teresa Byington joins me now. Hey, Teresa, how are you today?
I'm great. Things are going on in our garden, too. We actually had enough warm weather this week that we saw the forsythia bloom, and that tells us it's time to get to pruning our roses. And Mr. G started us a new arbor. But, you know, something happened a couple of days ago, and we've had to put the arbor project on hold and get out our coats and our umbrellas. Spring's kind of taken a little different turn.
Oh, my goodness. You know, spring, you know, leads right into summer and the vacation season. And you know, a lot of people will be traveling this year. I had an opportunity to talk with Lisa over at Big Blend Radio. I don't know if any of our listeners have ever listened to their show. It's bigblendradio.com. And they're going to Lisa and her mom are the hosts of Big Blend Radio, and they're going to be taking a national tour of all of the national parks in the United States over the next year. And I'm just really excited about their opportunity to get out and see the beautiful parks that are available to everyone here in the U.S. and also those communities that surround those parks. And we hope to hear from Lisa and her mom along the journey. So hopefully we'll get them to call in from the various rose gardens that they encounter. Sounds like a great thing.
Ooh, that does sound like a lot of fun. They'll get to be our eyes and ears out there where places that we won't get to go to this summer. That'll be great. Susan Fox is joining us now. Hey, Susan, is it freeze or thaw where you are today?
Well, hi, Teresa and Chris. Thanks for joining us today. And, you know, I'm in the same zone as you are, Teresa, which is zone six, and we've been having these temperature changes. It's been cold, it's been warm, and I just finished rose pruning, and I had never heard that tip about waiting for the forsythia to bloom, but I think it's really right on target because the forsythia has just bloomed in zone six, which is south central Illinois, and it has warmed up, and now I know there's a temperature dip next week, but I did prune later than usual, but it's been a very unusual spring. So, and we have joining us this morning, our guest is Mark Chambly of the Chambly Rose Nursery in Tyler, Texas, and he's a master certified nursery professional through the Texas Nursery and Landscape Association, and he holds a business degree in accounting from the University of Texas. Currently, Mark is also serving as the TNLA Associate State Director. Mark and his wife, Sharon, are the owners of the Chambly Nursery, but they reside in Mineola, Texas. Mark's always looking for ways to better improve roses and the care of the nursery and once you get them home. So welcome to Rose Chat, Mark. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. Pleasure to be here.
What's your temperature like there in Texas?
We're around 60 degrees, sunny, beautiful. It's what we call in East Texas a bluebird day. It's just a beautiful day to be outside and to be gardening and just enjoying the outdoors for a change.
Oh, that's wonderful. You know, on your website, it says that y'all started your business in 1973, and it's a family-run business. How did your family start in the rose hybridizing business?
Well, we are actually not rose hybridizers, and we started in 1953. My dad purchased the property that we're on, and we grew roses in the field. East Texas area at that time was producing over half of the world's roses that were field grown. Of course, currently today, those field-grown roses are coming primarily from California and Arizona, and the field production here in East Texas has declined due to the methods that they have in California are much better, the irrigation and the large fields, and economic reasons also, and the freezes played a part in the decline here in this area. The roses we grow now are everything that we have here are grown on their own root system, so we're doing on-root propagation in greenhouses, and our roses stay here on the property until they go to the consumer.
Okay. And it also says that you're a Master Texas Certified Nursery Professional. What does that designation actually entail?
That designation is through our state nursery association, and it is in assistance with Texas A&M University. The first step is there's a beginning certification plan, and then the second step is the master certification, and then we also have landscape certification as well. And it's an intense crash course study from some of the top professors at A&M that have we go through a lecture series, a lot of hands-on studies and field exercises to get that certification. And I'm really proud of that. It's nice to have that type of certification. My educational background, you mentioned, in accounting. Of course, that's what's helped keep my business going and operating is having the business degree.
Well, I know that clay poses such a big problem. I know, although rich in nutrients, those nutrients are locked in the clay. And I know that in Texas, that clay known as Texas gumbo, you helped to educate me how to convert clay soil. So can you explain to our listeners the organic components? Can you go over that with us? How do you convert clay soils?
Absolutely. Well, in Texas, of course, we have a variety of soil conditions across our state because it is so large. And in the alkaline black gumbo clay soils, which are also similar to what is in Kansas and other areas, and Nebraska has some of the clays, what the nutrient value of the clay soil, as you mentioned, is very good. But what we recommend is to make it more manageable to keep it from cracking in the summer and from being real gummy and gooey in the winter when you're getting more rainfall, is to add a product that's called expanded shale, S-H-A-L-E. What the expanded shale does is busts up that clay, makes it more porous, and makes it more manageable. We recommend tilling in 3 inches of expanded shale, 6 to 8 inches deep, then applying 3 inches of finished compost. What we use here in East Texas, and one of the ones that we like at our nursery the best, is cotton burr compost, which is cotton gin trash. You know, mushroom compost works well, or your own compost, if you're into making your own compost, will do just as well. You want to make sure that compost is finished so that it's not robbing any nitrogen from the soil. So you apply 3 inches of finished compost after the shale, till that in 6 to 8 inches deep, and then plant your plants. The third step then is to put a shredded hardwood mulch top dressing on top of the soil, 3 inches deep. Once you do that, over the period of a year, that bottom inch of that mulch will decompose and become, and it naturally and organically feeds your plants, requiring less fertilization. It also helps conserve your water, because it's keeping the soil moist underneath the mulch. It protects the roots in the winter, keeps them cool in the summer.
You know, Mark, when I did, I started working the, I bought these components and started to work in, because I had a big problem there in Plano with the beds, with not the elevated beds I brought in, and My roses didn't even know they were growing in Texas gumbo, because I brought in all the norm, you know, what roses like to grow in. But in the, just the soil, I used this expanded shale, and expanded shale was expensive. What's your solution? You know, if you just go to the nursery, it's pretty expensive. Are there ways to get it in bulk? Or I'm sure you must get it where it's not quite so expensive. What's your solution to that?
it is available in some areas in bulk, but it's not as easy to manage and handle. The bags, of course, are quite heavy, and the expense factor of it is, you know, this is a one-time soil addition. I mean, when you amend the soil with shale, that's a one-time expense that you have. And then you're going to apply the compost one time. Now, the shredded bark that you put on top, which is the cheapest component, you will reapply mulch every year, but you'll only probably add about an inch because you're only going to lose an inch in decomposition. But, you know, when you look at the expense of the shale initially, it is a little bit of a hit. You may pay $7 to $8 for a 40-pound bag, but when you look at the cost of your plants and having to replant or the performance of your plants, it's a really good investment to start out right with the right type of soil preparation.
Right, because the roots of the rose can't do anything in that clay, so you're going to lose the plant anyway, right, if you don't do something about the clay. So, and also, I know that most of us were using like a cypress mulch until I heard that you said don't use that cypress mulch. It doesn't break down, so you want to use a hardwood mulch, right?
That is correct, and I'm like you. I used to recommend the cypress, and I liked it because I thought it was the prettiest mulch, and it also didn't wash as much as the other. But the shredded hardwood mulch kind of interlocks as well. It's not bad to wash, such as a redwood mulch or pine bark mulch, and it works very well. But when you get the shredded hardwood mulch, you're getting all parts of the tree in that mulch. You're getting the inner parts as well as not as the bark on the outside. And it's giving you a lot more nutrient value as it decomposes in the soil.
Right. That was a complete change for me because I had all this pretty red cypress mulch, and I completely, after this recipe that you gave me, converted to the hardwood mulch, which was a big change because I knew that it was breaking down for the nutrients. So, also, I know that you, as you said, you have all these beautiful miniatures, and they grow on their own root systems. And we never tire of hearing how growing on your own root system makes for a hardier plant. Can you go into that a little bit for us?
Absolutely. Well, you know, not all roses will on root. Some of your modern hybrid teas do better as a grafted plant. So there will always be budding and grafting, and there will always be grafted roses. But the varieties that do, your shrub roses and a lot of your old garden varieties and your miniatures, if you can grow them or purchase them on their own root system, they're going to be a lot more hardier because you're dealing with one harmonious plant, not two plants. On a grafted plant, you've got an understock, and then you've got a graft in that understock, and there's a lot more problems that can occur, and it's a lot harder to grow that type of rose than it is with a plant that's on its own root system. You can actually, on pruning one on its own root system, if someone accidentally runs over it with a lawnmower, as long as there's some bud eyes still left, that rose will come back from the ground. Another thing is the suckers that come up from an on-root rose, that's a good thing because that's new limbs from the plant. And if you get any suckers on a grafted plant coming below ground level, then that's part of the old understock coming up, and those have to be pruned off because they will take energy from the rose bush itself. Just really love the on-root method. They're more drought tolerant. They're more cold tolerant. They're more require less fertilization because there's not as much needed to push, you know, the plant itself. And it just really is the best way to go if it is a variety that does well on its own root.
You know, Mark, I always wondered why they winter better. Roses on their own root system seem to just winter better, and I just didn't really understand that, but they do, don't they?
They do, because on a grafted rose, you know, your graft is generally above ground. In the north, they'll plant the crown of the plant or the graft below soil level sometimes to protect it from the freeze. But on an on-root rose, there is no graft to freeze, so it can freeze down to the ground. And still, as long as there are some eyes underneath that soil line that are viable, they'll come up and turn right back into a wonderful plant.
So then the big news, too, is if we all want to know what's your favorite miniatures this year, do you have some favorites?
Well, there are several that we have in the miniature roses that are my favorite. One of them that is one of our top sellers is called Rainbow's End. It's a multicolor red, yellow, kind of hot pink blend. Another one is that is a real versatile miniature we've grown for years. It's called Red Cascade, and it can be used as a ground cover or a climber and also makes a nice container plant and even a hanging basket plant. There are other varieties that are really disease-resistant in the miniature range, such as Beauty Secret, which is a red one. It's also fragrant. Rise and Shine for a yellow we have is very good. We have one called Cupcake that is pink. And one of our most hardiest would be a rose called Rouletti, and it is an old garden variety of miniatures. It was discovered in Switzerland, growing in window boxes, so it's very cold hardy and was also used in hybridization of a lot of the modern miniatures that are on the market today.
You know, I think people are so fascinated with the names of miniatures, don't you think? I have people just stop and, you know, they have such a adorable name, like Giggles and Cupcake, and they're just fascinating for people to pause and enjoy the names as well as how I know some of the buds, like on June Labor, the buds are as tiny as your little fingernail. They're just such a precious to look at. And they also, I like to plant them instead of annuals because they're perennials. So I tell everyone that I've replaced, although begonias are pretty, they're just the same. And I think that miniatures are a tapestry that change every day, so we really do enjoy them. So thank you so much. And I know that Teresa has some questions as well. So, Teresa?
Hey, Mark. I read that you're the original source of the Earthkind roses. Could you tell our listeners about the Earthkind roses?
I sure can. That is a program that was started by Texas A&M through Texas AgriLife Extension. And it began in the early 90s. Dr. Steve George was the person who got the program started. And his intent in the beginning was to find the most disease-resistant, hardy varieties of roses that could be grown in consumers' yards in Texas without any pesticide application, very little water, very little fertilizer. So really to thrive on neglect. Little did he know when he started, and little did we know in the 90s, that the program would be so well accepted that it is now in virtually every state in the United States, nearly, and is in six foreign countries. And it developed into also the Earthkind Landscape Management Plan, which goes into water conservation, the responsible use of fertilizer, and the not using pesticides. And that's where also our soil management came into that I described earlier with the mulch and the shale and the compost. That came through the Earthkind program and through the research. There are 23 varieties in the Earthkind list now. Not all of them do well in cold climates. They are restricted, a few of them, to a zone 7. But all of those varieties in the landscape without any pesticide application will survive and do well. They can get a little bit of black spot occasionally or a little bit of maybe powdery mildew or an insect, but the genetics of those roses are so strong that they'll bounce back and come back naturally on their own. The program is continuing today. There are a lot of roses being trialed all over the United States. We have extension in other states that are working with A&M to do research in their states to see how the roses are doing in those areas as well. We've got companies out of the United States, such as Cortez out of Germany, that's very interested in the Earthkind plan, the hybridizers that we have here in the United States and in other foreign countries are introducing varieties and want to have them tested and trialed to see if they will perform as Earthkind roses.
That's wonderful. I think it's so important that we continue to do these kind of programs regionally because our country is so vast and we have so many different climates and zones. Are there any of the Earthkind roses that you're aware of that would perform well in my Zone 5B garden?
Probably the one that's the most cold hardiness would be Carefree Beauty, one of the original 11. It was a rose that was hybridized by Dr. Griffith Buck at Iowa State University. And, of course, it is hardy to zone 4. And Dr. Buck, when he created the roses that he worked with in his tenure at Iowa State, he was looking at disease resistance and cold hardiness and drought tolerance. And in his research trials, he was doing Earthkind. It wasn't called Earthkind, but his method of testing the new hybrids that he created was to plant them in cornfields out in Iowa. And he did not have the funds to apply pesticides to them, so they had to basically survive on their own. If they did, he kept them in his hybridization program, and if they didn't, he kicked them out. Now, Carefree Beauty also is the parent, one of the parents, of a lot of modern roses. For instance, Knockout Rose, that is so popular all over the United States, one of the parents on the female side is Carefree Beauty, and on the male side is another one of Dr. Buck's roses called Applejack. So you can see that his genetics are coming through even today in a lot of our modern hybrids. So that would be a good choice for your garden.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned Dr. Buck. I've been reading a lot about him, and his story is so fascinating, and it's just been fun to read about. And then this week I went to the Rose Society meeting locally and was talking to a friend there, and I asked her, you know, about a rose I had seen on your Facebook page, Quietness. And she said, oh, yes, she did grow it, and, of course, she's local, and it grows very well for her. And she said, it's my favorite rose. So I was telling Chris this week, as soon as I heard that, rose fever set in, and I had to place an order. And luckily, Chamblee Nursery had Quietness, so I'll get to welcome those to my garden this year. So thanks for keeping those going.
You're welcome, and you're going to love the fragrance of that rose as well. That is a beautiful rose and a very, very nice one, and that was one of his last hybrids that he had while he was at Iowa State.
Oh, I'm glad to know that. I love all the little historical details about these things. Mark, I also saw on your Facebook page another rose, Peggy Martin.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that rose. It just made a spectacular display in the picture.
The Peggy Martin, there's a neat history to that rose. It survived Katrina. It's nicknamed the Katrina Rose, but it got the name Peggy Martin. Peggy Martin is involved in the New Orleans Historical Rose Society, and she's been a member and involved in the American Rose Society, and she's just a wonderful, colorful personality. And her home was in Plaquemine Parish, which just got totally flooded by over 20 foot of water. And she lost her home, she lost her parents, she lost nearly all of her garden except for some of her bulbs, and the only rose, and she had at least 100 roses planted in her garden, but the only one that survived was this wild-looking shrub climbing rose called, which we now call Peggy Martin. Mm-hmm. No one's able to identify the true name. It's not a species rose because it repeats its bloom, but it's very vigorous, very cold tolerant, definitely tolerant to all types of water and drought conditions as well, and extremely vigorous and also disease resistant. So it's just been coined the name Peggy Martin. Peggy went across the country promoting the name, and there was at a point in time a fundraising going on from the sale of each rose that went to help restore gardens along the Gulf Coast. And the rose is still very popular today and very well marketed, and it does excellent on fences, and as you said, gives a wonderful, wonderful display. And I've actually seen it bloom in January.
Oh my goodness, I'm so glad to know that story, and I can tell you that rose fever is starting all over again. It is beautiful, and you have so many pretty pictures on your Facebook page. I would encourage our listeners to, if they don't already, to like you on Facebook, because it's a great, great page that you have. Mark, while we have you with us, could you recommend some planting tips and care for the newly planted roses in our garden?
Absolutely. The main thing for roses, as we've been talking about in soil prep, is roses like really good drainage. They don't like to sit in water and don't like wet situations with water. And in a crowned or slightly raised bed is good. They definitely want lots of good air circulation and as much direct sunlight as possible. Eight hours of sun a day is perfect with a minimum of 6 hours of sun. We also recommend to not use pesticides unless you just absolutely have to. A lot of insects can be controlled by high-pressure water, knocking the insects off the foliage, especially with aphids, because there are beneficial insects that will take care of your aphids as long as you just get them off of there. The aphids are going to come first because the beneficials are not going to come until they have something to eat. But once they get there, they can probably pretty well keep those in control. What we're doing here to help get plants started for the consumer is we're under what we call a biorational pesticide management plan, that we apply more plant nutrients and vitamins to our plants to help increase the strength of their own genetics and resistance to disease. Kind of like we do when we take vitamins and exercise, we're not as likely to get sick, and if we do, we recover much quicker. So that's what we do with the plants, and the type of products we're using now are much more nutrient-based and much more environmentally friendly. And I suggest that the folks at home, when they plant their plants, choose, especially if they're beginning gardeners, choose plants that are very disease-resistant in the beginning, and to start practicing that type of best management plan in their garden.
What kind of fertilizers are you using?
The organic types of fertilizers are fine. The blood meal, bone meal, alfalfa meal, feather meal, all those types of things are really good. If you're using a commercial-grade fertilizer, what we recommend is to use one that is in a slow-release or controlled-release format, so that the nitrogen released is released very slowly. It's like roses are generally not heavy feeders, and they like to have a sustainable amount of nutrient coming to them, but not an overdose, which can cause you problems. So a slow-release fertilizer with a ratio, a 3-1-2 ratio, which would be like an 18-6-12, if you look on the package. You don't want to go with one with a high middle number, what we call a superphosphate. We used to recommend those to promote a lot of bud and bloom, but what the phosphorus will do a lot of times is tie up the micronutrients in the soil so that they're not available to the plant, and it can work against you. So a well-balanced, controlled-release nitrogen fertilizer of a 3-1-2 ratio is what we recommend.
And one more question about fertilizer. Do you recommend fertilizing right after you plant a new rose, or do you wait a little ways, or do you wait till they have full leaves, or what would be your recommendation there?
I strongly recommend that they do not fertilize at the initial planting of their rose, because most of the commercial growers are going to have slow-release fertilizer in their containers, and that's going to be enough to get the plant established and started. If they apply fertilizer at the transplant, and that fertilizer drops a little bit too much nitrogen, they can hamper the development of roots on that plant versus starting the roots. Now, a good hormonal balanced root stimulator would be okay to use, but even then I would go more with the half rate than I would the full rate. It's always better to go in moderation. Twice as much is not going to be twice as good in a lot of instances, in particular with fertilizer.
Thank you so much. That's great advice. Susan?
You know, Mark, a lot of people listening, and we have listeners all over the world, don't realize that history of Tyler, and you're right there. And Tyler is the home of the rose capital of the United States. And I was fortunate one time to attend the Rose Festival, where they named the queen, and it was such an amazing and formal event. So do you attend that Rose Festival, and can you tell people a little bit about the history of Tyler and its place in the rose growing history?
Well, as I mentioned, back in the 30s, the festival began, and in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, on up until the early 70s, Tyler was a major player in rose production for plants across the United States. And the festival was developed by the garden clubs and the garden club members here in the East Texas area. It is really promoted by our local Chamber of Commerce and has now expanded into the whole month of October with things going on instead of a just one-week type of event. Now, the main event is the third week in October, and that's when we have the Rose Festival Parade and the Queen's tea and all the things that go on there. But we have a beautiful, beautiful municipal rose garden that is on display all through the year and is in a beautiful display through the spring and early summer months. And then they do a light pruning in August to get a full burst of color for the fall in October and November until we have frost. So it's a Rose Festival in Tyler. It can be just about any time as long as the weather's providing us a lot of color on the gardens.
Do you show roses personally, Mark? Do you go to the, I think, you know, when I was a member of the Dallas Rose Society, weren't you a member there, a couple of the local societies, but I can't recall if you were showing then.
I am a member of the Dallas Rose Society, the Collin County Rose Society, the Houston Rose Society. Of course, I'm a corporate member of the American Rose Society. I do not show roses. I grow roses. And I try to encourage people how to grow them and how to use them in their landscape to have that beautiful color. I like to go and see the displays, but I'm not into the showing part. I'm into helping people learn how to grow them.
Right, and also probably it takes quite a bit of time to show roses, and your business takes quite a bit of time. So how can people find you online? I know you've got a beautiful site, and I was exploring all the roses that you sell, and it looks like you ship all over the country, but can you tell people about finding you online and how long can they order? Can you buy all year long, or do you have a ship dates? Can you tell us all about that?
I sure can. Our website is www.chambleyroses.com. We do mail order to the 48 states centrally in the United States. We do not ship to Hawaii and Alaska, but we do all the other 48. We do not ship to foreign countries. We have done that, and it is just a really big hassle. Our shipping time is from mid-September, generally through mid-May. But with the current weather pattern we're having this year, with the late cold snaps through the Midwest and up north, and even here, we're extending our shipping time through the end of May this year so that we can give a lot of our northern customers a chance to get their product in and not have to be worried so much about an early cold snap or a late cold snap for them.
Is heat a factor from your end if it gets too warm for shipping from your end?
It does. That's what stops us from shipping through the summer. We ship, generally we use FedEx, and the trucks that they ship on, of course, are not air-conditioned or cooled. So it's better not to ship for us in the summer months because of the heat on the trucks. But also the summer is not the best time to plant. Really, the best time to plant your roses is in the fall or in the spring. And here in East Texas, I prefer the fall over the spring.
Now, you ship in little pots, right? Yours aren't bare root, correct? So how do they arrive?
Ship in one-gallon containers, so they are already rooted and they have leaves on them. And sometimes when we ship, they even will have some blooms every now and then. But we do not ship anything bare root at all because they're all container grown and grown from plug liners. So there's a root ball, you know, in the plant, and we don't want to disturb that if we can help it. So we ship container and all.
All right. So say, what if someone is going to buy maybe 10 or 20 plants? What would shipping cost be? Is that a factor?
It is a factor. It's better for them to buy more than one or two plants because after the initial cost, the freight rate per plant goes down, and the freight depends upon how far they are from Tyler, Texas, and also the amount of plants that they get, which would factor in the weight. We try to save them as much as we can on freight. We know that's an issue, but it's just something that we have to deal with to get plants to the consumer.
Okay, Mark, you know, we love to hear great stories about your experiences in the rose business. Is there anything you'd love to tell us about growing roses and things we need to know? Because we love to hear rose stories.
Well, the newest and neatest thing that we're involved with in the branding, of course, there's a lot of different brands of roses. You've got your knockout brands and proven winter brands and Southern Living brand. The one that we're working with, we're real excited about, is working with Biltmore out of Asheville, North Carolina, and we're distributing the Biltmore Rose Collection, and it just began last year. I'm real impressed with the varieties and the selection process. I will be going to Biltmore in May to judge their rose trials there. There's a new one next year. I'll just give you a snippet that I'm real excited about. And the rose has done excellent in Europe, and we're introducing it here in the United States, and it's called Blue for You. And it's a bluish lavender shrub rose, and we're really excited about it. It will be coming out next fall. We hope to have inventory ready for shipping.
It's a shrub?
It is a shrub.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds great. We can't wait to see it. So do you have any pictures anywhere yet, or it's not even there yet?
Well, we will be putting the pictures online, and it'll be we're probably going to feature it on the front of our catalog, but we're not doing it now because we know people will be calling in wanting to get them immediately, and they're just not ready yet. So we're building inventory. The plants are doing really well, and we're real excited about having something that's a different color or a different type of rose. You know, everyone's after the blues and the lavenders, and this one has really got a nice display of color.
Yeah, I know. I just love the blues and the purples, and they're getting to where they hold their color better. So, well, it's just great. We're just thrilled to have had you on the show, and I know you sure did help me with the clay soils, and it's just been a godsend to be able to convert those clay soils instead of growing things in gumbo. So we really do appreciate you being on the show. And I don't know, Chris, did you have any questions, or Teresa, any more questions for Mark before we say bye to him?
Mark, I wanted to thank you again for being on the show today. It's awesome information. It's great to hear from people who have been in the trenches in the rose industry for years. And as a consumer and a radio host, I thank you on both fronts. It's awesome to talk with you today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and I really enjoyed the opportunity, and thank you for the opportunity to speak to a group, and I'll be happy to do this anytime.
Thank you so much, Teresa.
Yes, thanks, Mark. Well, you know, rose show season is in full swing, and most local rose societies hold an annual rose show. And these shows are a wonderful place to see beautiful roses and to learn about roses from the people who actually grow them in their gardens, just like you want to do. And the rose shows that are going on today are the Rose Society of Tucson, Arizona is having their show today, and the San Fernando Valley Rose Society in Encinito, California is having their show today. And Baldo Vikas, who was with us on Rose Chat last week, will be a judge at one of the shows, at the San Fernando Valley show today. Also going on today is the Jacksonville Rose Society in Jacksonville, Florida. They're having their show. And then on April 20th, there's several shows too. The Phoenix Rose Society in Phoenix, Arizona, the San Diego Rose Society in San Diego, California, and on April 20th, also the San Joaquin Valley Rose Society of Fresno, California, and the Golden Isles Rose Society of St. Simons, Georgia. Then on April 21st, the Dallas Rose Society will have their show. You can check out a full listing of rose shows around the U.S. at roseshow.com. And we want to thank you, our listeners, for joining today on Rose Chat. We'd love to hear your comments and your feedback on today's show, so just send us an email at grow@rosechat.info. You know, you can find us on Twitter by following the Rose Chat hashtag, and you can like Rose Chat on Facebook. Be sure to check out our website, rosechatradio.com, for a full archive of all of our previous broadcasts. And we believe that becoming a member of the American Rose Society is a decision you won't regret, so check them out too. They're at ars.org. Well, next week we'll be talking with rose hybridizer David Clemens of Thoroughbred Roses about his line of award-winning roses. So it's a broadcast we think you don't want to miss.
Underwriting support for Rose Chat Radio is provided by Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure teas and alfalfa tea for roses. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Well, until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.